Welcome, listening family of Through the Bible. No, I am not Steve Schwetz. You might recognize my voice. I'm Greg Harris, and I have the immense privilege of serving as the president of Through the Bible. And it's my privilege also today to wish all of you a happy Thanksgiving. For those of you in the States, we know that if you're not in the States, no matter where you are, as you join our study today, our message is the same. We at Through the Bible are grateful for you. I want to thank you for so many things. You mean so much to us. I want to thank you for praying with us together for the needs of the world, our world prayer team, and then many of you who just pray for us every day. We say this over and over again, but it's the truth. We could not do what we do without the prayer support of God's people. We also thank those of you who financially give to the ministry. That makes so much of a difference as well, because we then have the resources to sustain these five-year broadcasts in 125 languages around the world. And we thank you also for your letters of encouragement and feedback. You know, Steve and I often sit in the studio and we read these letters, sometimes with tears in our eyes, and we often say to each other, we never get tired of hearing your story. So thank you for that. And your stories of how God is at work in your life through the study of His Word are not only encouraging to us, but they're encouraging to the many people in our listening family. On this day, when we pause and thank God for His blessings, we at Through the Bible thank God for you and for your partnership in taking the whole Word to the whole world. Now I'm going to turn it over to Steve, and you're going to hear the voice that you love so much. So, Steve, please take it from here.
Thanks, Greg. Maybe I need to be getting my resume ready to start shopping it around.
Well, you're a volunteer, so I don't think you have to worry about that.
Okay. Well said, Greg. It really was. Today in our study in Hebrews chapter 1, we get a driving lesson. Yep, you heard me right. You know, one of the first rules of driving is to be aware of road signs and what they mean. And some road signs tell you which direction to drive, while others tell you how fast you can go. Some scream warnings like, wrong way, do not enter. Or one of my favorites, don't back up, severe tire damage. You know, one warning sign that can be seen from our office here in Pasadena is one way. I've been tempted to go outside and write Jesus under the sign, but the city probably wouldn't like that too much. So, it's true, you know, though, if you ignore the warning signs, you really can't get into serious trouble. So why am I telling you this? Well, because the book of Hebrews is actually filled with warning signs, or as Dr. McGee put it, danger signals. There's six in all, and Dr. McGee will list them from Hebrews 1 and tell us how to drive, I mean, live safely. So let's pray together now. Father, our hearts are full of gratitude and thanksgiving as we remember how you love us, how you provided for us, how you give us your word to guide us on our way. We ask now that you teach us from the study in Hebrews. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now we return to the first chapter of Hebrews at verse 8. And we are in this section where we're talking about angels. Christ is superior to angels. Now to the Hebrew who was acquainted with his Old Testament, and most of them were in that day, angels were very important. The fact of the matter is they were all important to them, and they thought of angels next to the throne of God itself. There were the cherubims on the veil and over the mercy seat, and the law came by angels. And you have the appearance of angels in the Old Testament to many of God's servants and to many of the prophets. Therefore, they were important. Now, I do not believe there's an angel ministry to the church today. The church is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, third person of the Godhead. Now, we are living, therefore, in an age when angels do not appear to man to begin with. If you've seen one, may I say to you, you better check with your doctor or your psychologist, because you really didn't see an angel. Always think of the two boys that met. They hadn't seen each other in a long time, and one said, the other said, are you married? And he said, yes, says, are you? He said, yes, I'm married. He said, well, what kind of girl did you marry? Well, he says, I married an angel. And the other one says, you sure are lucky. Mine's still alive. Well, you don't marry angels. You may think so, but I know that God has made this universe so that there are things visible and invisible. In Colossians 1:16, we're told that Christ created things visible and invisible, You can't see an atom, but it's material, and it becomes energy. You can't see it, you can't experience it. And God created intelligences that are above man. And you and I live in a universe today where the Lord Jesus said, in my Father's house are many moni, abiding places, and therefore intelligence, created intelligences to live. And God has a great deal more, I think, than you and I can even dream of today. We didn't come from an animal. There is the material kingdom. There is the animal kingdom, the human kingdom, the spirit kingdom. And there's creatures that are below man and creatures that are above man. And you and I never came from an animal. And we never will become an angel. And I like that. Remember the song, I Want to Be an Angel and With the Angels Sing. And as a little boy in a Sunday school I was made to attend, why, they'd line up those little brats. I was the only good boy in the class, and the teacher would have us sing that. I want to be an angel and with the angels sing. And that's the last thing I wanted to be, was an angel. And you know, I still feel that way, and I'm very happy that the scripture makes it clear I'm not going to be an angel. Now, angels, as we've seen, are messengers, can be either human or divine. You have an order of creatures, supernatural, that we have in the scripture. And the number of the angels, as I say, I think it would really surprise us if you and I had any conception of the number. They're called the host of heaven. And friends, that means there are a whole lot of them. And they are not apparently diminished or added to in any way. Well, the law came by angels, and as we have said, cherubims on the veil and the mercy seat, and Israel thought of them next to the throne of God. But Christ is superior to the angels. Now I come to verse 8, and I'm reading it. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Now, this is a quotation from Psalm 45, and it reveals that that is one of the great messianic psalms, that there's coming one in the line of David. David says, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. In other words, David said, I could tell it to you lots better than I could write it. And David is so thrilled that there's one coming in his line. And that one now, the writer to the Hebrews says, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the one who will rule in righteousness, and God has not given that to any angel at all to do. In verse 9, thou hast loved righteousness, hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. This is a tremendous statement here. Thy throne, O God. Now this is God, the Father, calling God the Son, God. You want to deny that he's God manifest in the flesh? Then may I say you're contradicting God himself. God called him God. What are you going to call him? Well, I don't know about you. I'm going to call him God. He's God manifest in the flesh. This is a tremendous statement. He is superior to angels because he's going to rule. He is the Messiah. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords that's to rule over this earth someday. We're not through with this. Verse 10, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. Verse 12, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Now, we have here this tremendous statement that he is the creator. And since he is the creator, angels are creatures. You have tremendous contrast that's given to us here in this particular section. Angels are creatures. He is the creator. And this, by the way, is a quotation from Psalm 102, verses 25 and 27. Tremendous statement. Now, verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? Now, somebody's going to say to me, but it does say here that they're going to minister to the heirs of salvation. No, no. Let's read it like it is. To those who shall be. This is looking forward to when God again turns to the nation Israel and to the Gentile world after the church is removed. You see, God's moving on a program and a purpose, as we've seen. And when he does, then again, they will minister. But the interesting thing is, it doesn't say those who are right now the heirs of salvation. And I think that we should notice that. Now, Christ is a son. Angels are servants. Christ is king. Angels are subjects. Christ is the creator, and angels are creatures. And he today is waiting until his enemies are made his footstool. God never said that to an angel. He did say that to his son, and his son someday shall rule. May I say to you, this is a tremendous passage, a tremendous section of the Word of God. Now, we have in this section here, therefore, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ set before us. You have here the exaltation of Christ. He's higher than the angels. Now we're coming to chapter 2. And in chapter 2, we are going to see the humiliation of Christ, that he was created or became a man, and he became lower than the angels. He was created a man in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and he took upon himself our humanity. Now, therefore, Christ is the revealer of God, and he is the representative of man. And you're going to find out two things about him in this book. He reveals God to man down here, and he represents man before God. I have a representative up there. I have someone to represent me. I don't know about you, but I get the feeling that up in my state capital and in my nation in Washington, that those who are called to represent me are not representing me, that they're all out for themselves today and their own little pet program, and the public can, well, they can just let the public do as they please. They're going to put through their program, and the only time they're interested in me is when I vote, and then I become a darling of the politicians. I am the intelligent public that can't go wrong provided I vote for them. May I say to you, it's wonderful that we have a representative before God who represents us there. And that's wonderful to know that he's there today for you and for me. And it's a good thing we've got somebody there for us, because we have an accuser of the brethren up there that has access to God. And he could tell some pretty bad things about me. I'm thankful I got a representative there. What a picture that we have here in these first two chapters. First, the exaltation of Christ, higher than the angels, because he is God. And now in chapter 2, he became lower than the angels. He came down, and we have here the humanity of Christ. We have the two. The deity of Christ and the humanity of Christ. Now, at this particular juncture, it's so important that he puts in here the first of six danger signals in the epistle to the Hebrews. This is the first one that we have. And here it is in verses 1 through 4 of chapter 2. And here there is the peril of drifting. The second danger signal will be in chapter 3, verses 7 through chapter 4, verse 2, the peril of doubting. And then in chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, the third danger signal, the peril of being dull of hearing, of being a student in God's school that has to wear a dunce cap. And a lot of us have to do that. And then you have the fourth danger signal, the peril of departing, and that's chapter 6, verses 1 through 20. And then there is a fifth danger signal, and that's the peril of despising, and that's in chapter 10, verses 26 through 39. Now, we come to the last danger signal. In chapter 12, verses 15 through 29, the peril of denying. Now, these danger signals are warnings to the people of Israel that they fail not to enter into the full blessings which God has provided through Christ. God warned the nation at Kadesh Barnea that if they fail to enter into the land of Canaan, why, they would not receive the blessings. In fact, that generation, all they got was a wilderness experience, and they never knew what it was to live in the blessings of the land. Now, there are a lot of Christians today. In fact, there are two places that a believer can live. You can live in the desert and have a wilderness experience as a Christian, or you can enter into the blessings, and you enter into those blessings by crossing the Jordan River, spiritually, of course. And I crossed it, and it wasn't pleasant at all, because you've got to come out of Jordan into Israel, and the bus I was on stopped 5 times by the time we got to the Allenby Bridge. And by that time, I was so disgusted, I didn't know whether I even wanted to cross the Jordan River. And I thought, as we drove across it, and I looked at that little old muddy stream, thank God I crossed the spiritual Jordan in Jesus Christ through his death and resurrection, buried with him in baptism, raised with him in newness of life. And that's the way Joshua got the children of Israel across. And how wonderful that is. Now, as we come to this warning here, will you notice it's a warning that I think is for the child of God today. A warning, there's a danger of drifting today. Now, will you notice this in verse 1, and I'm reading it. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, let them slip is we should drift past them. You know, you've heard the story of the man in the boat that went to sleep on Niagara River. And before long, he was down where he was caught by the rapids. And it was too late, then there's nothing he could do about it. And he went over the falls and, of course, was killed. Now, someone asked the question, what must I do to be lost? Well, we know the answer. What must I do to be saved? What is the answer to what must I do to be lost? The answer is nothing. Nothing. Just keep on going along, brother. You're drifting, and the falls are down ahead. You and I belong to a lost human family. We're not on trial. I get a little weary of hearing, oh, God has us on trial. He doesn't have us on trial. We are lost. He's saving some today that'll turn to Christ. We're already lost. You don't do anything to be lost. You are lost. What must I do to be lost? Nothing, because that's your natural condition. Now, there is a danger, therefore, of neglect. That is, just neglecting. And neglecting any area of life is tragic. I had a very wonderful secretary, and she developed cancer of the hip. The doctor told her, but she kept postponing an operation. And finally, the day came when it was too late. She just drifted, that is all. She'd been warned, but she just drifted. And then when the operation was finally performed, it was too late. And when you move that to a higher realm, hearing the gospel message and doing nothing about it, that's infinitely more tragic today. A great many people that have heard the message, they continue to hear it and do nothing about it. A man said to me some time ago, know him, listens to this program some. He may be listening right now, for that matter. He said to me, he says, McGee, you know, someday I'm going to take up your offer and accept Christ. But right now he's drifting. And I don't know how far along he is, but the day will come, he'll be in the rapids. And then it'll be too late. he'll go over. The heart attack may come or be in an accident. And so today, we're going to find that it's in this epistle, now is the time. This is the day of salvation. I want to tell you, I'd like to get all of you into the now generation, that now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation, and there's a danger, a real danger drifting. And so the warning is here. Now, will you notice verse 2? For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward. Now, when those angels came to Sodom and made an announcement of judgment, my friend, it was executed. And you will find out that when an angel brings a message in the Old Testament, you can depend on it being carried out. Now, the question is, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Now, a great Welsh preacher years ago, he began his sermon like this. Friends, I have a question to ask. I cannot answer it. You cannot answer it. Even God cannot answer it. And then he gave this text. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How shall we escape? Do you know a way of escape? The only way is Christ. He said that. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. There are many ways today. Here in Southern California, you can hear about as many as you want. And very frankly, if you're looking for a religion, you will find it out here. And if you don't find the one that you like, the one that's your way, you can start one, and I'll guarantee you, you'll have a few followers that'll go along with you. There's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? What do you do to be lost? Nothing. Just neglect. Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will. And I think he has here definite reference to the day of Pentecost, when we see the exercise of those gifts. And all of that confirmed the message to whom? To the nation Israel, as you see. Because he says, at the first began to be spoken by the Lord. The Lord said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll rest you. And them that heard him were the apostles. Now, the apostles then gave the message after his death and resurrection. What a tremendous thing that we have in this first little parenthesis, the first danger warning, the peril of drifting today. Now we'll see next time the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, beginning with verse 5. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
That's the first warning. In Hebrews 4, we'll hear about another urgent warning. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. If you sense maybe that God is speaking to you today, we would beg you not to ignore or disregard his voice. Another verse says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know, Jesus Christ extends his offer of salvation to you right now. So, if the Spirit of God has brought conviction to your heart, please turn to Jesus and accept his gift of eternal life. Do it today. To help you understand God's gracious and free gift in Jesus Christ, you can visit ttb.org and then click on How Can I Know God? There you'll be able to read resources from Dr. McGee like The Inside Story and then his booklet Faith Plus Nothing Equals Salvation. I love that math. Or if you prefer, we can mail you a few of these resources. Just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE and let us know you want them. God promises in Isaiah 55:11 that his word would accomplish exactly what he intends. We hope our study today impacts your life as He intends to. There's a way that you can help that, too. For next time, as you hear our opening music, why don't you ask God to help you hear and obey what He wants to teach you? Maybe even read the passage ahead of time. Come ready to hear from God, and you'll be ready to receive His best. I'm Steve Schwetz, and as always, I look forward to another great ride with you on the Bible Bus tomorrow. Again, we're so grateful for you today. May God bless you, and happy Thanksgiving. We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.